Kay traveling across the Atlantic to meet up this hour with Father Paul Kramer in Ireland. Is it Ireland or Northern Ireland? I get confused, Paul. I'm sorry.
Which Ireland. Is it?
Ireland. I got it right. Okay. Will they ever get back together, do you think, briefly?
The time will come, yes.
Okay. Well said. Now, if all of you can go to the homepage, look under guests, tonight's guests, and look for Father Kramer. And I want you to look under his name. There's a story that I picked up the other day and sent to him. I haven't had a chance to speak to him about it, but it was kind of interesting because it seems to parallel many of the things we've been talking about. It has to do with Archbishop Vigano. Is it Vigano or Vigano? I get it sometimes right, sometimes wrong.
Vigano.
Vigano. All right, that's my third choice from now on. I'll remove it and put it to number one. Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, starts a new agency, an organization, to help victims of the fraud pope Bergoglio's Deep Church. Now, Deep Church is a new term. It's appropriate, and it fits. What did you think of this article, and what do you have to say about it? You know Vigano, right?
Yes. Well, the first thing I would mention is that there is, I think, a criticism made of him that really is out of place, because he diagnoses the situation in the church very well, but he has not proposed a concrete solution. And it's not that he doesn't have a solution in mind, but it's like a leader of an army. You have to understand the mind of your troops if they're ready to fight a certain battle.
Gotcha.
And when the time comes, he will be more explicit about what course of action needs to be taken. But he has already more than just hinted at it, that Bergoglio is perhaps not a valid pope, that he's not a legitimate pope at all.
He's a dreadful
person. He doesn't refer to him as the pope, as Pope Francis. He calls him Bergoglio.
Well, it says it all.
That's already a clue as to what he really thinks about the matter.
Right.
That criticism, I think, needs to be set aside, because I think it's defeatist for especially for Catholics to be hypercritical in this manner. When you have a church leader like that, who is sorely needed to shine a light on the problem, and before you can prescribe a cure for the disease, you've got to diagnose it correctly, and that's what he's doing.
Well, he's doing a very heroic thing, then. This is important. He's laying it out. Here's his statement. I'll just read a little part of it. The church is going through a very serious crisis, mirroring that of civil governments. Those who hold positions of power have shown themselves to be enemies of the institution they oversee and of the people over whom they exercise their authority. This subversive action leads those who are not willing to accept the betrayal to become the object of persecution. Just as the doctors who chose to treat patients during the pandemic lost their licenses and were deprived of their salary, so the priests and religious, who they do not adapt to the Bergoglian revolution, are being removed from churches, expelled from convents, and left without any means of support. I'll stop there. But there it is, the Bergoglian revolution.
What needs to be understood among the Catholic people, among the Catholic clergy especially, the hierarchy, is that they cannot simply say we can do nothing because this man is the Pope. The Church has a doctrine which is It's a dogmatic position. So this is unchangeable. That the Pope is the supreme judge. This was solemnly defined most recently by the First Vatican Council in 1870. But it has been the teaching of the Church all along. The Pope is the supreme judge. That in matters of, in all matters that refer to ecclesiastical authority, in all cases, the Pope is the supreme judge. And in all questions of faith and morals, these cases are referred to his jurisdiction. So the Pope is the court of final, the tribunal of final instance in matters of faith.
So how do you feel about that personally?
What is not understood is precisely the heresy exception, what is called in canon law and theology. There is the heresy exception.
Okay.
And this is a matter of papal rulings. St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. Robert Bellarmine, the two greatest doctors of the Church after the Council of Trent, explain the heresy exception. The heresy exception is also put in terms of canon law by Pietro Ballerini, who crystallized and refined the teaching of Bellarmine. And he explained that in the canon, in the sacred canons of the Church, meaning the rulings, the papal rulings, mm-hmm. So we have this established canonical tradition and a jurisprudence of the Roman Church, which is summed up in terms of the sacred canons, the papal rulings, according to which a pope cannot be judged for anything, for any crime.
Oh, really?
With the exception of heresy. Mm-hmm. Because if it is found that the Pope is a heretic, it is that he is found not to be the Pope. He is not. Heresy and the papacy are incompatible. So Ballerini explains that if a Pope were to fall into heresy, if he were a valid Pope would fall into heresy, mm-hmm. He would lose office immediately. Because as the dogma of the Catholic Church stands, because the Pope is the final supreme judge in all cases, he cannot be judged by anyone. So if there is an exception, and there certainly is, it's the teaching of Pope Innocent III, it is the ruling of a number of popes that the Pope can be judged for heresy.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be... that if the Pope is only thought a man who was thought believed to be a Pope, but is not a legitimate, valid Pope of the Church, could he be judged? So if he is a heretic,
sounds kind of familiar to me, like circumstances exist right now.
Yes,
those circumstances.
And so many Catholics and so many priests, bishops, even theologians. Make the mistake of saying, well, we can't do anything about it because he's the Pope, he's the supreme judge. But the Church has this established position. It is the sacred canons of the Church. It's the canonical tradition of the Church. It is the teaching. It is the teaching of Pope Innocent III that if the Pope were to fall into heresy, he could be judged, and he should be removed from office. I've explained this at great length in my two volumes, and especially the second volume of the case against Bergoglio. I've quoted all the sources, the direct quotations, both in Latin and yes. other languages, and with the English translations. There's no doubt about it. This is the teaching of the Church, and what has to be understood is this. There are objective standards. They are called the indicia of heresy. The degrees of suspicion are according to the evidence, and those that evidence is classified as the various levels, the various degrees of indicia of heresy, which establish that a man is either a suspect of heresy, or he is clearly and without doubt, obviously, a heretic and simply to be removed from office. If there is degrees of suspicion, if he is vehemently or violently suspected of heresy, mm-hmm. and the church's canonical tradition establishes what a man must do to fall under that heading of suspect of heresy, vehement or violent suspicion of heresy, incurring that status of suspicion casts doubt on the legitimacy of his papacy. So once a man is, for example, like Bergoglio, at the very least, they would have to admit he is violently suspected of heresy. I prove beyond that in my book that he is not a suspect of heresy. He is indeed formally guilty of the crime of heresy. But be that as it may, it is such a clear-cut case that he is at least must be considered violently suspect of heresy. It is morally certain that the man is a formal heretic. And therefore, he has to be considered, at the very least, a doubtful pope. Now, the church's teaching is that...
At the very least, yeah.
If a man is to such a degree of suspicion of heresy that he is a doubtful pope, then the church has the authority, the power to judge that man, to make a formal judgment and remove him from office if he proves to be an incorrigible formal heretic, one who was defected from the Catholic faith and departed from communion with the church because he's no longer in communion with the faith of the church. So it's a simple matter, and because there has been the very public correction made, and he has rejected it, he's shown himself to be so incorrigible in matters that are of matters of faith, that he rejects the teaching of the church. He rejects the faith of the Catholic Church. He refuses correction, and therefore there's no doubt. He's a formal heretic. The hierarchy, those who remain in the Catholic faith, that portion of the hierarchy, which is still the Catholic hierarchy, not the Bergoglian hierarchy, which is a false church. Those who are of the Catholic Church, have the duty to reach a judgment and make a pronouncement in the matter. So that the Catholic people will not be left in a state of confusion about a man who is destroying the church. He is attempting to completely dismantle the Catholic Church. He is attempting to eradicate every vestige of Catholicism from the church and change it to a new institution with secular values.
If any of you have not heard Father Kramer on the program before, all of the visits are up on the left side of the homepage. I would urge you to go listen to them. What he just said is correct, absolutely correct, and he has stayed on this course from the beginning. This is a fraud pope, and I don't know who on the inside or what the mechanism is by which the church could act to evict him, eject him, erase him. But look what happened to Benedict the 16th. I don't know what grounds they used to force him out and into house arrest for the last 8 or 9 years of his life, but that's what happened. There was an overthrow in the church. It was a coup d'etat. And I'm speaking as an outsider here, but that's how it certainly looks to me. So this is very interesting that there is a mechanism in place. What would it take, Father Kramer, to get the church to stand up and do the right thing here? This guy is clearly a heretic. And again, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm listening and I'm reading. He needs to go, or the church is going to be hobbled and turned into something that it bears little resemblance to that which it has always been.
We have to look at history to get an idea as to what course of action can be taken under the circumstances, because when the situation warrants it and is favorable so that it can be carried out, the man has to be removed from office. But has created so many cardinals, he has named so many bishops, that it will be very difficult to remove him. So what the Catholics of the hierarchy must do is they must make a pronouncement and saying that this synodal church of Bergoglio and his gang, that they are not members of the Catholic Church. They are outside of the church. They have no authority in the Catholic Church. They must at least make it clear that these are two separate churches. There's the Catholic Church, which has always been since the time of Christ, since the time of the apostles. And there is this new counterfeit church. And the Catholic people have to be warned to stay away from that church. So in the meantime...
It's a big story. This is a huge development. Huge. Viganò says deep church, interesting construct, but it's a fraud. And he stacked the deck. It's like stacking the Supreme Court with justices, or Congress, or the Senate with your own kind, your own bootlicking friends, and you put them in there, and you've got insulation then. You've got power. This is not good. Go ahead, please.
Bishop Athanasius Snyder has also issued a document, which is a critique about what Bergoglio was doing to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And what he points out is that Bergoglio is dismantling the papacy. And not just dismantling the papacy, but he is altering the divine constitution of the church.
Mm-hmm.
In such a manner that this is what must be understood. If a man who claims to be pope, who is thought to be pope, would change the constitution of the church and change the faith of the church into a different doctrine, to a different faith, what he is doing is he is defecting from the faith of the church. So Bergoglio and his gang, what they have accomplished is that they have left the church by defecting from the faith. And this is what people must understand, that they owe no loyalty to this man because he's a defector. And the Vatican that is under him, those Vatican officials who are leading this offensive against the Catholic faith and against the very nature of the church, the very constitution of the church, they are the defectors. They have already left the church. There is so much confusion being created. I'll give you one example. There's a writer by the name of E. Michael Jones, and he's saying that you must not try to solve the problem by leaving the church. No, we Catholics, we're not the ones who are leaving the church. It is Bergoglio and his gang who have already left the church. It's not a question of us deciding to leave and go into schism. They have already gone into schism. They have separated themselves from the Catholic Church by defecting from the faith. And this is what must be understood.
That's the best way to look at it. It's a fait accompli. It's already a done deal. That's your best bet. You step around a lot of potential problems that way. It's done. They're gone. It's a new world order religion that this gang is trying to establish. They're trying to reinvent traditional Catholicism and make it reflect, what would you call it, a naturalist kind of a religious approach to life and the planet? Naturalist? I don't know.
That is what they're doing. That is what you're doing. And there is a YouTube channel by the, it's called Return to Tradition. Anthony Stein. I don't know if you've heard of Anthony Stein.
No, I have not.
He's done a recent program documenting what Bergoglio has been doing. His attack on Catholicism is very systematic. That he is attempting to eradicate every piece by piece, every trace of what is the true Catholic faith and the true Catholic piety, to remove that and replace it with this new counterfeit naturalism, this fake religion. And Bergoglio has been doing this all along, but he's been going about it very systematically, and he is always mouthing expressions that have sort of a Catholic sound to it, to keep the Catholic people thinking that he's
right. It's pseudo Catholicism. How was it that he was empowered? How is he placed? Let me keep it simple. How did the New World Order globalist elite step into the church's business and place this guy like they did? Was it a question of threats? Was it a question of bribery, blackmail? How did they get Bergoglio in there?
The cardinals were not well informed about what this man was really up to.
No, they didn't know.
There are bishops in Argentina, and I didn't know what this man was about. I had heard about him only through the media, the secular press, and the reports were sounding very good about him. So they gave him an undeserved good reputation. And of course, the secular media is dominated by Freemasonry. And as I said before, Bergoglio is himself a Freemason. When he went to the Philippines, the free and accepted Masons placed, I think it was a full page advertisement, either half page or full page advertisement, in the biggest daily newspaper of the country, welcoming him, expressing their approval for this man. So they're approving of one of their own. He, like I said before, I said before in a previous program, I can't mention the name, but it's a very high-ranking Vatican official who divulged the information, the evidence that Bergoglio is himself a member of Freemasonry.
Father Kramer, here we are in 2023, and the church is literally facing an existential threat to what it has been throughout history. This is the end of the line. Something has to be done, or the church it might be lost. That's my view from the outside. That's how bad it is. This is really bad.
Yes, it would appear that way. Yet the church is not made of mortal stuff. God will intervene to save his church, but it's going to reach the point where it will appear that the church has disappeared from the face of the earth. This was already explained by Cardinal Henry Edward Manning in 1861. It will appear that the church has been swept from the face of the earth. In the meantime, how can Catholics combat this? And the first thing they must do is they must not accept this man as having any authority in the church. And what he's doing, and what people are aiding and abetting this man in his work of destruction by submitting to his perceived authority. Because what he's doing is any bishop, any cardinal who opposes his his nefarious agenda to destroy the church, one by one, Bergoglio is removing them, is punishing them, whether the individual cardinals and bishops he's been doing, religious orders he's been dismantling. Uh-huh. It's a divide and conquer situation where he just picks them off one by one, like a sniper. Like a sniper in his tower, he just shoots them one by one, and it's like the bishops and cardinals who are the ones who are to be defending the church, that they're bowing in reverence to this man as he fires away at them.
I see a very distinct and clear parallel to what's going on in the United States now. How the public can even for 1 minute accept this illegal, unelected fraud president is beyond me. But because the media says he's the president and the media is the reality for most people, I guess they go along with it. But there's a similar path here. We're being betrayed every day by this career criminal here. It's absolutely hideous. And you see it over there in Ireland, you know. This is a joke. But it's a satanic joke, and it's on us, American citizens. We are allowing this to happen. By our silence, we allow. And I don't see Americans out in the streets. This guy is not a president. Anyhow, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I see a parallel here, big one.
It's happening most everywhere. In the European Union, it's the situation is getting very dire.
Yes, yes.
In order to supposedly to save the planet, because of the carbon emissions and all that, because of the carbon footprint, it has been decreed by Brussels in the European Union that they've got to decrease the production of crops, food crops.
All lies. It's insane. Insane lies. And the media purveys it as reality and appropriate, and the people stare and they look and they react. They're not proactive anymore. The same crisis faces the church. The people from the most common church parishioner, whatever you want to call them, to the cardinals and bishops who still have clout, who know what's going on. If they don't stand up, Father Kramer, this is not going to have a happy ending. At least not right now.
It's not now, that's for sure. The message of hope we have, like I said, is in the message of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. There were Saint Dominic and two other saints, I think Saint Francis and a St. Louis, I can't remember which St. Louis that was at the moment, offhand, I don't remember his full name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The three saints together foretold that how the Virgin Mary was going to save the world. And this is why she appeared in Fatima, to warn us what's going to happen and give us the means to give us the means to be saved from what is threatening to be the annihilation of the human race.
Yeah, yeah.
The words of Pope John Paul II, the incalculable self-destruction. Uh-huh. And that's what the human race is heading to. The human race, by acquiescing to these demonic powers that are directing the elected and unelected leaders, by submitting meekly to these powers, it is collectively an act of suicide.
Oh, suicide. This is a government by media. The mainstream media, the dominant media, is creating the reality. And unfortunately, tragically, the majority of people are accepting that as being reality when it isn't. It's a lie. This is an incredible deceit that's going on. I see it all over the place. And now I see it in the church, thanks to you. Your message out here is enormous. And this, your statements and our programs get passed around to a lot of people, and hopefully it'll ignite something before it's too late. What they did to Benedict the 16th was crazy, kind of the stuff of Victor Hugo novels. It's nuts. I couldn't even believe they got away with it, but they did. Kept the man a prisoner.
Yes. And those who were close to Pope Benedict have spoken. Mm-hmm. They made it very clear that he was systematically persecuted and worn down. And he was left with no choice. What he did was, he stepped back from the exercise of his ministry. He did not resign the papacy, but he stepped back from the exercise of his ministry.
Right. He had 9 more years left to serve.
Yes.
And could have done some remarkable things to strengthen the church. This is a big story. Probably the biggest story in organized, so-called organized religion that may have ever been, certainly in our lifetimes, easily. The church is being used by the globalist genocide satanic elite to further institutionalize its madness on the populace. And it's got to stop. We're running out of time here. 7 billion people or thereabouts have been injected with this biological weapon of death. This thing is not a vaccine. Never was, never will be, couldn't be. It was designed to do one thing, and it's doing it very well. We've lost more people than the average person would ever understand already. And I think here in the U.S., Father Kramer, we probably have lost 10% of our population in the last 2.5 years. But I say that keeping in mind that we've had 8 or 9 million come across the border to fill a lot of those missing places. And many people will never miss 1 out of 10 people in a period of 2.5 years. They won't miss them. They won't notice it. But I think we may have lost 30 million people. Certainly all told, when you calculate in the dead and the vax injured, making these people no longer viable, they need care all the time. They've been taken out of the game. This is what's going on here, and it's building to a larger crescendo all the time. I hope there's a hero in the church at the highest level who will stand up and make these declarations that you've written about. It is a fait accompli. These people have stepped outside the church. They're no longer really in it. It's just like the president of this country, the alleged president. He's not president. He's a career criminal and a pedophile on top of that, according to everyone who watches and studies this thing. And yet the people accept it. So they are committing suicide here in that regard, and I see it in the church too. Anyhow, go ahead.
Well, he's also mentally incompetent.
Totally. Absolutely. So where are the people in Congress here, in the House or the Senate, who are standing up making the case that this guy is mentally incompetent, dangerously so? Where are they? A few people making statements, but what is being done? Nothing of any real significance yet. Nothing. And this has been going on for well over 2 years now. So it's pretty sickening, all of it. These are very dangerous times.
Well, with Biden, you're dealing with the problem of a very advanced dementia.
Correct.
With Bergoglio, it's something worse. Where it's something very sociopathic.
He's diabolical, yeah. Sociopathic. You got it.
And it's becoming apparent that this man is what is in the third secret of Fatima that was revealed by Malachi Martin about this so-called pope who would be completely under the power of the devil? There can be no doubt we're dealing with the Bergoglio. That's what the message of Fatima in the secret is foretelling, that there would be this man, Bergoglio, under the power of the devil.
So that essentially is the third secret. Okay. Well, I'm sure that all of your contemporaries, your colleagues, your acquaintances and friends in and out of the church, knowing you, certainly understand through your work what's going on here. But I wonder what can happen in this country through the governmental process. We have the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branch, the three branches of the government. How are the people even going to become activated enough to do anything when they're being lulled into this sleep state of stress, survival, etc.? I get it. And then taken away by Netflix and the other things to temporarily drug them into oblivion so they don't think about things. It's all been carefully co-opted. It's not an accident, none of it. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I know that we have many laws, codes, ordinances that can be put into effect, not to mention the U.S. Constitution. But who's doing it? Nobody. I don't know anybody in the House. Senator Ted Cruz, not to drop names, but he's making some good statements, but that's not enough. There has to be concrete action taken, unmerciful concrete action taken to get rid of this parasitic malignancy that's running this country. And it's primarily, I'm sure you realize this, it's Obama who's running things from about a mile away. He's the globalist kingpin who's operating the operation. I don't know if anyone's running Bergoglio or not, but he must have an interface somewhere in the global elite. I would expect that.
Well, he does have an immediate superior. Like I said, he is a Freemason. He receives his orders directly from his Masonic superior, from what is called the Worshipful Master of the Lodge of Freemasonry in Buenos Aires. So through phone contact, he will receive orders directly from them if they see fit to dictate something to him. He will get the call from them. In one instance, he was going to make a decision that they didn't like, and he was told, "You can't do that."
Yeah. We have America has become the laughingstock of the world. Unfortunately, it's a deadly satanic laughingstock. Our involvement in this NATO-U.S. war against Russia, being fought in Ukraine now, is right. We're skating on the edge of, you know what? All of you know this is not a joke. Russia is now viewing this as a true threat to its existence, no doubt. And they've made it quite clear they're not going to go down quietly. So
it has been outlined in foreign policy documents going back to the time of the George W. Bush administration that they had long-term strategy to deal with Russia, which was to eventually lead to the partitioning of the dismantling of Russia as a presently existing state, occupying that huge amount of territory of the Eurasian landmass, that they wanted to break this up into several countries and occupy it and partition it.
Correct. Yep. Yep. It's astounding to see all these things happening. They're science fiction-like, but they're science reality now. These are happening. I mean, look at the...
they won't succeed. That's the message of Fatima. And Our Lady of Fatima said that Russia will be consecrated to her, and Russia will be saved.
Good.
Yeah. And I can also add that before that happens, when will people start to act? Well, the powers that be are slowly tightening the screws, and people don't feel it. It doesn't hurt enough yet, but they're tightening the screws. And when people are driven with starvation, when they have all their freedom to travel removed, when they become prisoners in their own homes, and when they don't own their own homes anymore, they have to rent what used to be their homes.
Right.
Eventually, when they're starving and they see that there's no hope left to them except to rebel, then there is going to be an explosion. People will be driven to desperation, and when they're driven to desperation, they finally act with resolve. That will happen. And that was foretold by a saint, Don Orione, who foretold that this would happen all throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. It has to happen. Otherwise, this becomes the planet Satan. Simple.
God will not allow that. Because he's the creator. The eternal law is the very divine wisdom insofar as it is directive of all motions and actions in the world. So God only allows the forces of evil to reach a certain point. The world is being punished for its evil ways, and God allows them to gain ascendancy for a time. But when his divine purpose is accomplished, when the purification has taken place, when the expiation for the crimes of the world has been satisfied, and when the divine justice has been satisfied, then in an act of divine mercy, evil will be completely crushed. And this is the message of Fatima. The message of Fatima is not a message of despair. And the secret of Fatima, with all the horrors that are in the third secret of Fatima, it is not a message of despair. It is the ultimate message of hope that God will save his people.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear. Are the rank and file members of the church aware of much of this at the top, something they may not even hear about or be particularly concerned about? I don't know. I'm just curious. Do they understand the forces at work here, the good and the evil, and this psychopathic nature of the betrayal that they're constantly being faced with and abused by? Do they know? Is there a way to reach the masses? Go ahead.
There are some who are beginning to, their eyes are beginning to open, some of them. But there are so many bishops who are just blind. It's like a fog has blinded them. The majority seem to be completely unaware of what is happening.
Wow. Wow.
Unfortunately, because Bergoglio is appointing bishops, it's like-minded criminals like himself that he's appointing to office,
right?
And of course, they won't see the evil because they consider the evil to be good, and they call a curse down upon themselves in so doing, as the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to them who put evil in the place of good, and darkness in the place of light."
Well, that's what they're doing, all right. Yeah, I see it.
And the hand
denial
of God will speak for this.
I'm I'm very hopeful and optimistic after listening to you for as long as I have now that that the divine will step in. It has to. I don't think humankind can do it without divine help. Do you?
That's correct. Without divine help, in fact, it was our Lord Jesus Christ himself who said, unless those days would be shortened, all flesh would perish. In other words, the human race would perish.
Mm-hmm.
And exterminism is at the heart of the agenda. They want to exterminate the human race. This is a diabolical plan. It is not men who have formulated these plans. It is the principalities and powers of darkness. The Apostle Paul said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness.
Oh, he nailed it. Yeah, exactly. It's difficult for some people, Father Kramer, to understand that there really is good and that there really is evil opposing it. I think they get it theoretically, but these are real. These are not just some mental construct. This planet is in a fight for its existence now. And so is the human race.
And unfortunately, the super rich who are calling the shots, the powers that be, what Lenin called at the commanding heights, these are people who are devoted to evil. They worship evil.
And if you doubt that, all you have to do is look at what's being done to little children. Not only are they being injected with this biological weapon, but to drag them as a parent to a pride parade and have them watch naked men on bicycles riding right up to them. These are 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, 6-year-old kids. And the parents are doing that to their own children? And then they put them in school and then they start to bombard them with this gender confusion. It couldn't be any more evil. To me, the war on children and childhood innocence is the dirtiest war of all. That's just my take.
This gender identity theory, which is total nonsense. It's an utter load of codswallop. It has been dictated from on high. And the United Nations and non-governmental organizations, those who have power, they're dictating this. And governments and governmental institutions are just following the dictates that they receive to impose this absolutely absurd and evidently false theory and indoctrinate children and destroy them, to corrupt them and destroy them with this nonsense.
Little children cannot unsee these images of drag queens, of naked men, pedophiles on bicycles, as happened just in Seattle a week ago or so. They can't unsee those things. Their innocence has been terribly compromised. And these parents, I don't know what even to begin to say that ought to be done with these parents who would do that to a child. Talk about people who have lost their way, Father Kramer. Wow.
And they're making laws in some places now already.
Yes, yes.
That if the parents don't accept the child's indoctrinated gender confusion,
right,
that will be considered child abuse. They'll take the child away from the parents.
Yep, they'll lose their kids. If I was a father or a part of a two-parent household, I don't know where I would go, but I would go somewhere. I would take those kids as far away from this as I could. I don't know where or how. Will there be any refuge for good people? It is said now that Russia is a very good place to go if you can. It's the last great Christian nation on the planet. I don't know. People often ask me, well, what state should I move to? Where do I go? And I don't have an easy answer, because each state is only one rigged election away from being completely corrupted. Think about it. Well, governor's chair and, yeah.
The ultimate democratic solution is when the people take action. If they can't vote with their feet, then they'll have to vote with the Second Amendment.
I don't see any other way to view it than that. And I think that the Founding Fathers built that into the Constitution for a multitude of reasons, and this is certainly one of them. I agree. Thank you, Father Kramer. Wonderful discussion again, as always. You be careful out there, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Very good. Talk to you, Doug.
Yeah. Father Paul Kramer, a remarkable insight into an enormous struggle, war, for the Catholic Church. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Take good care. Thanks for being here, and be safe.